was good, wasn't it? How do you like that little gospel twing? Lord, I do. I just think that is great. When your family's together, do you just sing out of joy sometimes? You're not preparing for something, just sing? Because that was probably the highlight of our last 2 years, is after communion, we know we're going to sing hymns, and the kids have favorite and stuff. And in our family consecration, somebody will bust out into hymn, and our kids can sing. And Ben plays the guitar, and now Eli's taking it, and Levi's taking guitar, which help. But we'll sing hymns for 45 minutes, just impromptu, one after the other, that you know, which is another good reason to learn some hymns, okay? Learn the great old hymns, and that's probably the highlight for us, because the Spirit of God really moves among that. He inhabits those kinds of praises, and it's just a glorious thing, and the sweet by and by, that'll fit with this morning. Well, good to be with you. I'm glad you're here. The Holy Spirit. How many of you are aware that this is Pentecost Sunday? How many of you know that was kind of a significant day in the church? Would you agree? Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples. Now, this isn't a sermon. I'm taking this out of your time. Okay. John 14, he says, I'm leaving. You can't come. And they're all tore up. Say, let not your hearts be troubled. I'm giving you a little context. You believe in God. Believe also in me from my Father's house. Those kinds of things he says. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I may be also. Now, they're not unpacking. How do you know what they're in desperate need of right now is revelation from the Holy Spirit. But he comes down and he says in verse 14, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Pentecost. Shall be in you. Something happened that day. A church was birthed. Okay. And he says, I want this spirit, this part of me that I'm going to give you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 16:13. Nevertheless, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he will glorify me. I love that. I think it's Nehemiah 9:20. Even in the Old Testament, it says, and he hath given us his good spirit to instruct us. That's the Holy Spirit of God at work in the Old Testament, work in the New Testament, and work today. He is a teacher. Would you agree? That teaching we need. You don't need my teaching. You need his. Would you agree with that? He can say more than a word than I could say in volumes. Well, it's good to be with you. Well, I'd like to speak to you this morning on my favorite word. It's only one word. Should be a short sermon. Don't get your hopes up. No one word has affected the course of my life more than this one word. It's given me meaning and purpose. It's affected my marriage, my family, how you handle finances. Why are you breathing up the air, eating up the food, drinking up the water, and taking up the space? This one word has influenced my life more than any other word. And I have favorites. I love favorites. I think I have 40 now favorites listed in my Bible. Favorite food, favorite day, favorite those kinds of things. Favorite state. But my favorite word has been for years now. When I first heard a sermon on it, I said, that's mine. I want that word. My second favorite word is forgiveness. My third favorite word is justification. But this is at the top of the pile. Are any of you interested yet? Do I need to keep baiting you up here? Do you want to know what it is? If you take notes, you can write down this one word, and that's what I'm going to preach on this morning. Eternity. Eternity. Isaiah 57:15 says, thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the heart of the humble and to revive the spirit of the contrite one. He says, I live in eternity, and I will dwell with those who have a humble heart in eternity. This concept of eternity. I have spent a lot of time trying to think on this word, and it's a hard one to wrap your mind around. Francis de Sales, born in 1567, died in 1622 at the age of 55, which is a young man to some of us. Never mind. This is what he said about eternity. He said, one must form well in his mind the idea of eternity. For whoever thinks well on this troubles himself little with what happens in these three or four moments of mortal life. You see, he's got it. Eternity. It's hard to describe eternity. For all of us live within time, and we have a beginning and we have an end, and we look at history, his story, and we see this. And so that's our framework, and we're trying to wrap our mind around something that lives on the outside of that. In fact, Moses said it this way in his Psalm, chapter 90, verse 1. He says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you were God. He's acknowledged. He says this word affects people's lives. It affected Moses. See, what makes sense out of time is something outside of time. See, time is one grain of sand on the seashores of eternity. Now, in a few weeks, we're going to have what is called the grandparents camp. It's our first trial at this. We're going to do, it's called, on my webpage, it's listed on our itinerary as Mundoglaj Chiricahua Apache. That means nothing to you, but to all of our grandchildren, that means something, okay? Mundoglaj, him honored son of one who's, of Wiki, of one who's called Victorio. That's a Christian video, John Wayne, Hondo, okay? You're not enjoying this, so I'm going to move on. But all of our grandchildren get a kick out of that, okay? Because I tell them all kinds of stories, okay, about when I used to be in the West. Never mind. They now know that I'm telling them stories. But when I first started this, they didn't know that, okay. So we're going to have them all together at our place for 4 days. And then we're taking them on Saturday. And they're still working out the details because this camp over in the west side of the state by the Dunes, Silver Lake area, Mears, Michigan. How many of you have ever been over to Silver Lake and seen the dunes, okay? So I have to speak there at their chapel. About 1,000 people come. So we want to show off our grandchildren. I hate to say it, but we're so proud of them. They love us, love the Lord. They're just fun to be with. We've had them in and out of our lives and traveling with and taking them with a different place. And they're just fun. And Joyce is a master of building anticipation. So she's getting them all psyched up for this. But anyway, afterwards, we're going to go over to the dunes and we're going to climb the dunes. That part I'm not looking forward to. But they are, okay? But we've done this before with our children and everything else. But if you just get your hand wet or something, you've been in the water, and you take your hand and put it down in the sand, you'll pick up just thousands of grains of sand. Now, that's peanuts in comparison to the dunes. Would you agree? But if you were to get one grain of sand and you got it, and you laid it down on something, and you could see that one grain of sand, that would represent, in the beginning, God. By the way, how do you know that it does not mean that God began in the beginning, that God was before the beginning began? Okay, you got it. Glory to God. In other words, he's outside of what you and I, and this is all we know in time, and yet he is the one who inhabiteth eternity. Eternity. Say it with me, would you? Eternity. Say it again. Eternity. One more time. Eternity. Wouldn't it be stupid if you went to the dunes, got one grain of sand, and spent your whole day staring at the one grain of sand to the neglect of the dunes of sand? Wouldn't it be insane for you and I if our life represents one grain of sand? If you get your 3 score and 10, your 70 years, one grain of sand, wouldn't it be stupid to stand there and stare at this one grain of sand and miss out on eternity? By the way, there is a number, there's a fixed number, we don't know what it is, to the sand. And God says, I'm just one more beyond that. Eternity. How many of you be willing to admit it's hard to wrap your mind around that? Let me see your hands. It's a tough one, isn't it? Eternity. Eternity will change our lives. Well, Moses helped us in his psalm. He goes down about 12 verses, 90, everlasting to everlasting. You are God. Every generation, same God. He says in verse 10, the days of a man's years are 70, by reason of strength, 80. Yet the span, whether you get your 70 or 80, is but toil and trouble. They're soon gone, and we fly away. They're soon gone. See, we know this so much about time. It goes by, and are any of you old enough to remember when you used to have to talk on the phone? You could only talk for 3 minutes. You had that little tiny Okay, some of you are really like that. And just, that's your life. Our life, life is short, would you agree? If you live to be 100, we just had Joyce's dad's birthday. When was that? Just last week. Our lives are so busy. I can't remember. It was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Had the birthday party for him. He turned 90. They've moved in with us. They're able to take care of themselves, but they're just needing a little more care. I mean, they still drive. I don't ride with them, but they still drive. Is there somebody who can say amen to that or not? I mean, every time we see them leave the drive to go to McDonald's, but they ought to be the poster children for McDonald's. They go to McDonald's every day, eat burger, fries, Coke, and a coffee. And they're 90, so there must be something good. I'm going to Max after this, okay? Never mind. We've got to leave this alone. But anyway, at 90, Ben asked him the other day, was at the party, he said, because Joyce had a bunch of pictures out of him and his old high school leather helmet days. Football. And he says, Grandpa, when was that picture taken of you? He says, I was a junior in high school then. He said, I can remember it like it was yesterday. But he said, I can't hardly remember yesterday. Come on. It's part of the, how many of you can relate to that a little? I don't care if you're 90 or not. I remember that. And it seems like to him it was just a couple of days ago, but it was 80 years ago or 75 years ago. And it goes by like this. Time goes by in a blur. Eternity. There has to be something more than time to be living for, because this one's too short. The eternity makes sense out of time. You take eternity out of this is insane. It goes by in a blur. It's just too short. Man. He said, they're soon gone. They're soon gone. Within the last year, I had a number of funerals. I do funerals. I still do funerals. Don't do weddings. I haven't got time for weddings. Well, I don't. I don't want to marry unless you have 5 counseling sessions. And it's toes to toes. I mean, it's too serious, too sacred. I have anybody's funeral. By the way, would you have mine? You really gave me a good introduction there. I really appreciate that, okay? I don't want somebody who knows me. I just have you do it. No, I'm just teasing. He thinks too highly of me. I'll guarantee you that. Now, I had a number of funerals. I had 2 pastor friends die in their 60s. They didn't get their 70. They didn't get their 70. One was 60, one was 62. Had one of them's funeral. My doctor died on me. How many of you know they're not supposed to do that? Say amen to that, please. They're supposed to hang around for you, right? He was exactly my age. I saw him in September. Smashed my finger in a log splitter. Crushed it. I wasn't going to do anything about it. Ah, it's broke, it's smashed, it'll heal up. Said, oh, it's a nasty looking thing. And my son said, you better go to the doctor. He said, he'll give you some antibiotics. You don't want to get a bone infection. So I said, I better go. So I mean, we talked, small talk. Give me the antibiotics. Okay, I'm speeding this up. He looked as healthy as I do, if I look healthy. I mean, we talk, we smile. I love this guy. He's a dear brother. Vietnam, he was a medic in Vietnam. Came to pay for your education. Came back and became a doctor. Good doctor. He died of a heart attack December 20th. How do you know you don't write them on your calendar? Would you agree? He had a heart attack and died instantly. Know where he's at. I haven't lost him. He's in heaven. See him again. Had a funeral in February, not too far from here, Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Good friend of mine who was at our house last July. Dropped off a slide, him and another brother. Good friend. That man loved the Lord. Oh, just he was 67. You couldn't pinch any more fat off of him than you could this pulpit. He was health conscious. Good shape. I mean, just good physical shape. Had every expectation to live in beyond his 70, 80 stuff. Physically active. You'd never guess this guy was 67. But little did I know, he had a little tiny tumor in one of the tubes that come out of his liver, the size of a pea. Surgeon said, we can deal with this. We can do this. Shouldn't be a problem. But he got an infection. I saw him 4 days before he died. He was ready to go. He says, I'm not. He said, but done my dialysis, all it does is extending the inevitable. I prayed for God to heal me. He's not going to heal me. And this man loved Jesus. He had eternity branded on his soul. For me to live as Christ, somebody help me. He got it, you see. He got it. That was an easy funeral. In the same week, I had a funeral for a woman, 65. Didn't know her. She was a relative of a neighbor of mine. I've witnessed all of our neighbors, so I'm kind of the neighborhood pastor. Somebody dies, and I'll have their funerals if I'm home. Unbelievers. They had it at the Eagles. The bar on this side and the hall on this side. Some of them were in here before they came over here. How do you know that's not your typical church service? Would you agree? I mean, I've talked with them. I took my book, You Must Be Born Again. I took a bunch of them. I asked the guy, she drew one Social Security check. Retired at 65. Came down with a disease within 6 weeks. Vasculitis. I never heard of it before. Her hands began to draw and close. The veins and began to shut down in her. Pretty soon, the stuff that connects the organs was going to happen. They said, we don't know what to do. We cannot do anything for you. You're going to die. Get ready to die. How do you know? Have you lived long enough to know that life, that death is inevitable if time stands? Would you agree with that? It's something you got to face. Would you have her funeral? I said, yes, I will. I said, would you let me preach the gospel? Oh, yeah, you can preach the gospel. And I took a bunch of those books. I said, how many do you think will be there? He said, maybe 100. Usually we're hoping that. I'm thinking maybe 70. There were 250 people stacked in that hall. People standing behind it, standing room only. Only 100 and 150 maybe were sitting down. Two retired police officers that I knew, were friends with, were there. One of them stood behind me this far as I preached the gospel. And my wife watched his countenance change. That there's only one God and one way to him. He must be born again. They gave the gospel message. I said, I have some books. I've written a book. I have some books. My wife has them. I wish I'd have had 250 books that went like that. People want to know, what might I do that I might inherit eternal life? Would you agree that's in the heart of people? Is this it? Because if it is, it's insane. But if there's something beyond that, eternity, eternity. I had a funeral in December for a friend of mine. He was one of the original pilot group men. 53. Friends of ours' son was killed in an automobile accident. Black ice. Wife, two children in the back. Crossed the median, going over an overpass. Black ice, lost it, went down to the median. T-bone the other side, killed him instantly. He was 36. How do you know we may think we have 70, but there's not even a guarantee of tomorrow. One intersection's all it takes. Please say amen. We've got to stop and think about eternity because it takes faith for eternity. It takes no faith for time. You're here this morning. Take no faith. Would you agree with that? You can do this one by living by sight. Now, would you agree with that? Faith. Faith is something God loves. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seeing something. Or believing something. Believing the unseen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. God loves it. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I hate these. When you're at the pearly gates, Peter will say, hey, you can leave them here. You'll have a barrel over you can throw all your watches and clocks in. And your calendars. Okay, moving right along. But we still live in time. Would you agree? This dot of sand is within eternity. He says, by faith, Hebrews 11:24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, a moment. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's faith. The eternal God, the one of whom I quoted out of Isaiah, the one who inhabits eternity, whom he had never seen. He wanted to see him. As his finger, the finger of God, wrote on the tables of stone and left the word, the Ten Commandments, he said, oh, let me see you. No man has ever seen God at any time. John 1:18. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Moses. I'll put you back here in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by. And after I've passed by, I'll let you see my backside literally. You know what that means? I'll let you see where I've been. And the residue of the Shekinah glory of God was so much that it came upon Moses' face. And when he went down, the people couldn't bear to look at his face. And he only saw the residue. So he's got residue of the residue of where God had been. But all we wanted to see him. God said, I want you to believe me. I want you to move into this realm called faith and not sight. You're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith. The unseen. Eternity. Can't wrap it around. Unseen. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man is perishing. Somebody say amen to that. You can take all the vitamins you want. You can even drink that juice that's supposed to really help you. I don't know what it is. Obviously, I don't do it, right? You can eat organic. You can get the right amount of rest and exercise. But you're going to lose that battle. Come on. The outward man is perishing. But the outward man takes no faith. The inward man demands faith. There's something in me that's more than this. It's the inner man. It's the one that God says is real. That's like me. That when I made you, you were nothing but organized dust. And you lacked something that was like me. I am a spirit. And he gave us a spirit. And he breathed in the man the breath of life. For in him is life. How do you know we carry about in us the sentence of death? We need something. We need faith in a God who raises the dead. Say amen. See, this is the one we preach. This is the Christ. This is the Savior. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Eternal things. Thinking eternity. 1 Peter 1:8 says this, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can I tell you what that means to me? I've never seen Jesus. How do you know he's not that Caucasian Republican painting we have? Would you agree? I hope he is a very dark-skinned Jew with a good black beard. Not black beard like the pirate. I'm talking about just a black beard, okay? Some of you kind of went like, oh, a black beard? No, he's a cult. No. Hang on, okay? I'm not talking that one, okay? He'll look a little different than the paintings we have of him. But he will be the eternal God. The one who was and is to come. The one who was dead and is alive forevermore. Say amen to that. That God, that's the one we preach. I've never seen him, yet I love him. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not. How do you know he's here this morning, but we can't see him? Would you agree with that? This is our eternal God, omnipresent God, omniscient, all-knowing God, all-powerful God. He's here with us today. How do you know that? His word tells me. His spirit confirms that truth. I love him, though I've never seen him. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing. You see, I put all my eggs in one basket. If Jesus isn't God, I'm sunk. Would you agree with that? Then his book's not true and he never rose from the dead. How do you know we're narrowing down the field of people right now who really believe in God? There's a lot. I mean, the God of the Bible. I'm not talking about the gods, small g's. Those are abundant. We're talking about the, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This God who gives eternal life. Eternal life. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For the Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. And I and my Father are one. And immediately the Jews took up stones to cast at him. They knew exactly what he just said. This guy that you think is nothing more than a Jewish carpenter is your Creator. The one who holds your breath in his hand. The one who sustains all of creation, the cosmos. You're looking at him. See, the Jews didn't have problems with God the Father and God the Spirit. It was that God the Son stuff they had trouble with. Would you agree? Nothing's changed. We still struggle with God the Son stuff. They said, I'll give them to you. They knew exactly what he was saying.
John 3:14 says this, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so..." Somebody, you join me, those of you who know John 3:16, say it with me. "For God so loved the world that he gave..." "That believeth in him should not, but have..." How are you glad that's in the Bible? You believe it with all your heart. Amen? Isn't that a good truth? You see, you say, "Well, Tom, I've never seen him." You don't have to see him. You can see him through the eyes of faith. You can believe. And God grants us this powerful thing to step out of time and see into eternity. Eternity. You know what? If you have eternal life and the persecution comes in your lifetime, it's going to come. It's in the book. It's going to come. If it comes to America, by the way, it's already here. We just don't know it. What are they going to do when they come up and tell you to recant and deny your faith in Christ? What are they going to do? Threaten you with heaven? How do you know if you have eternal life, you're in a win-win situation? Would you agree? And if you don't, all your good living isn't worth a biscuit in time. Got to have Christ. Got to have Christ. Romans 6:23. "For the wages of is, but the gift of God is through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's a gift, and it's eternal. No take-backs. Would you agree? My book on "You Must Be Born Again," it didn't say you must be born again and again and again and again and again and again. How do you know that's not in there? Would you agree? But you do need to be born again. You need to be born again. Titus 1:2, "In the hope of eternal life, which God, comma, who cannot lie, comma, promised before the world began." Do you know what that means? Before time began in the mind of... Well, have you ever asked yourself the question, what was God doing before the beginning of time? If he's in eternity, how do you know he wasn't standing around there twiddling his thumbs? Think about this. What was God doing before what we know as life? The universe, the cosmos, the galaxies, the mountains, the seas, the continents. What was God doing? I know this much. Before any of this began, it was within the sovereign omniscience and will of Almighty God to redeem a fallen man. I've chosen a theme for the Bible. It is the redemption of the glory of God and the redemption of man. Before the foundations, time, beginning, and the end. How do you know this thing is going to end? We know of his time. "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound." Anybody know it? "And time shall be no more. When the morning breaks, eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather. And the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." How are you glad that's a good old song, isn't it? It's a good old song. It tells truth of belief. People have embraced by faith, and they can't prove a word. I can't prove one word that there's a heaven. I can't prove you. There's one thing beyond this life, but by faith I can prove all of it. You know how I can prove creation? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Do you believe that? I don't have any problem with creation. Why? The Word of God's told me, given me faith to believe it, and I got news for you. I don't have to wonder about where I came from. Not some single cell amoeba. We don't know where the amoeba came from. That the sun warmed, but we don't know where the sun came from. And it crawled up on a flat rock over billions of years. That ought to insult an average thinking person. Did you know that? "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." That brings peace to my troubled soul. 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You can know this. You can know this. And I know I'm still going to finish this sermon. How do you know we've not exhausted the verses? How about I'll shorten it now. How do you know we've not exhausted all the verses that talk about eternal life? Probably many of you in your own mind have had verses come. The Holy Spirit will bring them to you. This is, oh, I know. Eternal life. Eternity 10,000 times over. Brandness upon our mind. And it'll make sense out of time. It'll affect how you live, where you go, from the house you live in, the car you buy, to the education. Your whole life will be affected by eternity. You pull it out and you're a citizen of earth only. You live only in time with no faith. Jesus said to a man by the name of Nicodemus, there's a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except the man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? By the way, he's on the Sanhedrin, minimum age, 60. I'd love to see Nicodemus. I saw a drawing one time of what Nicodemus may have looked like. A big gray full beard. Phylacteries here. Prayer tassels here. He had his synagogue suit on, man. This guy's got more religion under his little fingernail than you and I have in our whole body. He's a seasoned veteran. And he looked at Jesus and called him Rabbi, who's 30. And he said, nobody can do what you do except God's with him. I know that much. Nicodemus said, you ain't going to get this. You can't even see this unless you're born again. He said, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, Nicodemus, with all your religion, you must be born again. He's just told him you can't see it and you can't enter it unless you are born again. And you ain't going and you can't see the purpose until you're born again. I'll put this one in here, verse 8. The wind bloweth where it willeth, and thou canst hear the sound of it, canst not tell from where it goeth or from where it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Jesus looked at him, Nicodemus looked at him and said, I don't get it. How can these things be? Jesus looked at him and said, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? You're somebody that opens up the scrolls. You're doing the teaching of the people in the synagogue and you don't know what I'm talking about. What makes you a child of the living God is Him putting His Spirit within your body. That's what it means to be born again. For he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of His. Romans 8, verse 9. It's not what church you go to or what denominational tag you wear. Say amen, please. Are you born again? You know what the possibility is this morning? God's been at work in your life for weeks, months, maybe years. Maybe you've got religion. You're a pretty good person. You've never been born again. And you know in your life, the Spirit of the living God does not dwell in your body. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost whom you have of God and you are not your own? And I'm not even preaching the gospel. I'm just telling you, you know in your heart, you are not born again. You are not an eternally headed toward eternal heaven person. You can be. I don't care where you're at in this room. You can be. Unless the verse we quoted, John 3:16, is not true. Whosoever will, whosoever believeth in me, should not perish but have eternal life. And you'll know him, the one whom you've not seen, who one day every eye will behold. But you say, Tom, I don't know if I've ever been born again. You know what I'm going to close this service as? I'm going to come down in front. Would you all stand with me while you're standing? To try to live within some reason of time. And we do have to be a respecter of time. We live in it. Without any soft music, without any manipulative pleas, you know in your heart God's been bringing you along in your journey, young or old, male or female, educated or illiterate. How are you glad you don't have to pass an IQ test to have faith in Jesus? But you do have a test. Examine yourselves to see whether or not Jesus Christ is in you. To prove yourself that Christ is there, lest you be discredited. There's one test you don't want to fail. And that's to look within and say, the Spirit of the living God is in here. He has granted me grace and faith to believe the truth of the gospel, and I am one of His. And God has brought you to this place now, this morning. And you say, Tom, I want to trust Christ. I want to leave here knowing that I have done what God wants me to do. That's receive Christ. He is your only hope. And you're putting all your eggs in that one basket, and I want Him in my life.
It's what I'm going to do in a moment. I'll say the invitation's open. If God's been speaking to you for some time, you say, this is my morning. Pentecost morning. God's Spirit speaking to me, and I want Jesus in me when I leave this place. You come forward and just take me by the hand. Just stand with me. Don't you say one word to me. Your coming is all you need to do. And then I'll say, let's pray. And I'll lead you in a simple, childlike prayer. Not childish. Oh, no. But except you become as little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. What you need in order to be born again right now is conviction of your sin and your lack of the Savior. And if you've got that, can I tell you something? We can introduce you to Jesus Christ. And you can make a prayer of confession, a sinner's prayer of confession. I'll just leave. The prayer takes 15 seconds, and it's not the prayer that saves you. It's Jesus who saves you. You're just coming to Him and confessing before God and before man. My hope is in the Lord. I'll lead you in a simple prayer. And then I'll have a short prayer for you. Get your first name. Because I put your first name down in my prevailing prayer list. And I pray for you every day for the next 2 weeks. And you can go back to your seat knowing you've done what God wants you to do. And getting your name on my prayer sheet is immaterial in comparison to get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the day you stand before God, it's there. Invitation is open. I'm all done preaching. You know God's been dealing with you. And maybe they're in a soulless room, but maybe there's somebody here this morning or someone's balcony, wherever. See, I got to get Christ. I've got to step out of just constant sight and into faith and believing in Jesus. And I'm going to do it this morning. And faith is the substance. Why do you give public invitation? It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can't see what God's doing in here, but you step out and come forward. It's evident to us and to God what's going on in there. Invitation's open. All done preaching. Would you come? Would you come?